Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Back in the summer of 2016, former Taoiseach Enda Kenny marked Dublin's northeast inner city as a key priority for government. With communities impacted by gangland killings, a task force was set up to tackle crime and drug use and help improve education and employment opportunities for locals. 3 years on, this week our reporter Della Kilroy is revisiting the area to look at the regeneration process to date. And Della is here in studio with me today, looking, Della, at initiatives to combat drug use and homelessness. Historically, the North Inner City has had issues with social disadvantage and with addiction. And you had the Mulvey Report around that time. What was said in the Mulvey Report about these issues?
Well, the Mulvey Report, like you said, was commissioned by the government to look at the key recommendations in regenerating the area. When it was published in 2017, the report noted that addiction, drug dealing, criminality and intimidation caused challenges and put children at risk. But Mary, at the time, for some, they felt that the report fell short of expectations, and while there was an emphasis on drug-related crime, some said there wasn't enough of a focus on addiction.
There were four priority areas identified. They were then broken down into subgroups by an implementation team. Was addiction included in the priority areas?
Initially, no. While drugs and crime was a subgroup, it wasn't until this time, actually last year, after community campaigning, that a fifth subgroup looking at substance misuse and use was established by the Mulvey Report Implementation Team, also known as the NEIC Task Force. Mel McGibboon is the coordinator with the North Inner City Drugs and Alcohol Task Force. They're represented on this new subgroup, and I spoke to him about some of the challenges in combat drug use in the area.
This area, unfortunately, is very well known since the late 80s in terms of drug markets being present here. A kind of high visibility of drug dealing in the streets and associated flat complexes. You know, it's consistent in terms of that people don't use one substance. It's polydrug use or substance use. Heroin hasn't gone away, but it's not as prevalent as it had been. And street tablets are very prevalent, and cocaine, and particularly crack cocaine, is very, very prevalent. So it's an ever-changing market.
Since the task force was set up in 2016, what has changed in terms of combating drug use?
There was an immediate need in terms of the levels of violence and the levels of fear that existed in the community, and with the, I suppose, the fatalities, but also there was a lot of ongoing attacks or attempted attacks, and the tension that was on the street and people walking down the street with their faces covered and hats down and things like that. You know, it's lessened. In a wider sense across the area, it's much improved, much more relaxed to a degree. The level of drug dealing on the streets is still quite prevalent as well. There's much better coordination around trying to tackle that, but it's very fluid, and mobile phones and bikes make things mobile. You know, you can do an operation, can happen one place, but it quickly moves on another place.
Mary, Mel also told me that drug-related intimidation is still a key concern for the community, but they're trying to fill a post around that specific issue. He also told me that one of the key improvements since the NEIC task force was set up is that there's been much better coordination between the community, voluntary and statutory sector.
You spoke to a woman living in the community that's been impacted by long-term drug use. What was her situation, Della?
Well, for Lisa, a 40-year-old mother and grandmother, she's witnessed gang-related crime her whole life, and she's been in and out of prison and on and off drugs for over 25 years. She's currently being supported by the Sale Drug Project, but this is her story.
Well, I had a great upbringing, but I robbed from my family from a very early age to buy me friends. 12, 13, I would have started drinking, smoking hash, and then went on to acid and his. My mother walked the streets looking for me for nearly 30 years. She still hasn't stopped. But I went on to heroin at the age of 14.
What was it that made you want to start?
I had an uncle who was on drugs, and I lived with my grandmother and the curiosity. And obviously where I lived, seeing every weekend hundreds of people being around what you were buying. I wanted to see what it was all about. You know, when I started to experiment but didn't know what I was getting myself into. It's been a rough road, you know. My partner, he died, he did, waiting on a liver transplant, and I was going down that road myself. At the moment, my relationship now was getting stronger with my son. I had him as a baby, and then he went to live with my mother. I never took drugs around my son, but obviously then when he got older into his teens, he knew what I was doing, you know. He suffers now with depression himself. And I know that's partly of it. He doesn't say it, but from my drugs. But I'll give you an example. I relapsed back there 3 years ago on crack. I was getting crack off my son's friend. I didn't even know that. And he says, "Ma, I've never turned my back on you." He says, "But do you think this is good for me?" You know, and that really helped me.
Have you seen a change in the community over the last 3 years after the task force was set up?
Here along Amin Street, you come outside, everyone was dealing. I'd say the past year now, they've moved them along. And even the same in my area where I live, like you'd walk down, it'd be like an open shop. But now the police is there 24/7. But as I said, it's moving around the city, you know. It's moving from here, but it's obviously gone somewhere else.
Lisa, speaking about the changes she's seen, Della, so what's been put into tackling drug use, you know, in terms of funding and in terms of resources?
Well, first, in terms of dealing, as we heard yesterday or Monday when we looked at crime, there's been an increase in drug seizures, and there are just over 40 new Gardaí allocated to the area. For this year, the government committed 6.5 million in funding for the NEIC task force, and close to 170,000 has been allocated just to addiction related projects. The Analiffy drug project, for example, have three new outreach workers assigned specifically to drug dealing black spots. Also, funding has been provided for a pilot drug and wellbeing programme in secondary schools in the area to address the substance-related issues that school children might face.
You visited a centre working with women impacted by drug use. Where is that?
The Sale Women Drug Treatment Centre is on Amien Street, right across the road from Connolly Dart Station. And they were set up close to 25 years ago by community members to give women something to do when they were coming clean from drugs. Gary Broderick is the director. He's also on the Inner City Task Force subgroup. I spoke to him about the link between gangland violence, trauma and addiction.
We have to remember that things like the gang difficulties that have been around, the warfare, if you like, they leave a mark. Generations of addiction leave a mark, and there's an awful lot of sadness, of grief, of trauma in the area, and you don't just walk away from that. The families that were affected, the fear that was in the area, the way people had to live their daily lives, but worrying about the safety of their kids. And when you have, you know, one family seem to be one side of a divide and another family seem to be another, you know, it just makes the whole place that you're living in that harder to be in.
Have you seen a notable difference within this community over the last 3 years with such energy and additional funding going into to tackle drugs and other issues?
If you were to have asked me that question last year, my answer would be not really. Whereas now, as you see in the committees doing their work, as people are talking together an awful lot more, you know, there's movement, there's presence. And I think if we can do lots more of that so that you can begin to see a different image of this, we have to remember that we're not going to wipe out drug use. The pain and the anguish, we can do something about that. This takes investment, this takes time, and it takes consideration. We're only a small part of this. This is for the whole country. We have to be doing more.
Mary, when I spoke to those working with addicts for a similar series 3 years ago, they were waiting to see the development of supervised drug injection rooms, which the government supports. But 3 years on, and the end of last month, Dublin City Council refused planning permission for a drug injection centre on Dublin City Quays. So addiction service providers like Sale believe more needs to be done to address the needs of active drug users. But things have changed in terms of proposed new policies. And just last month, the government announced plans to shift to a health-led approach for first-time drug offenders with drugs for personal use. The government planned to refer them to the HSE for a health screening. Where a person is caught a second time, Gardaí will now have the discretion to issue a caution.
And if we move on to the issue of homelessness, the North Inner City has been particularly impacted. What was mentioned about housing, if we go back again to what was in the Mulvey report?
Well, Mulvey highlighted the need to build and regenerate current housing models, because this is a historic area where there's lots of social housing. But Mary, this was before the city's housing and homeless issues reached crisis level. And now, according to figures obtained by RTE News just last week, Dublin One, which covers the north inner city, has the highest number of homeless beds in the country, with close to 1,500. Dublin One also has the highest number of homeless children, with 694 children housed in homeless accommodation. Noel Wardrick is CEO of Dublin City Community Cooperative, and he's an active member of the Inner City Task Force. I spoke to him last week.
Yeah, I think we need to be straight and we need to be blunt on the issue of homelessness. I mean, there's no other way to say it other than that the government's policies over the last 10, 15, 20 years have been an abject failure. We witnessed the negative impacts of the failed government policies on housing across Dublin's inner city on a day-to-day basis. The area, the northeast inner city, is an area where there's huge numbers of homeless. A lot of the former commercial hotels and B&Bs are now closed and are now housing large numbers of homeless people. We in the community welcome the Mulvey Task Force and we welcome the government's focus and the additional resources being provided to this area, something we would have called for a long time. However, the homeless crisis is the equivalent of putting up another extra 10 feet on an already very, very high brick wall. It just means everyone's job is going to be far more difficult, and it also means that resources that have been put in to address supposedly long-term problems are being used to address emergency problems. And we would certainly, within the coalition, the North Inner City Coalition, be advocating for a huge, massive increase in the provision and the building of public housing. And in the absence of that, the housing crisis will continue.
What can the task force do to combat some of the housing needs in the area?
Well, like you heard from Noel, the task force don't have the mandate to change government policy, but they are supporting partially with funding a number of projects in association with Dublin City Council. These include the redevelopment of 80 units at St Mary's Mansions flat complex, 29 units in Popular Row, and other projects in Croke Villas and Railway Street. But as you can imagine, Mary, this is nowhere close to meeting the housing needs, and there are still many derelict commercial and housing sites also around the area.
And finally, let's move on to infrastructure. You visited First Inclusion Health Hub. It's the first inclusion health hub in the country built by the HSE to treat those impacted by homelessness in the inner city. Where is that based?
Well, it's based in Summerhill. It's just across the road from the HSE's new primary care centre. It only opened last month and it's the first of its kind in the country. The hub houses a specialised GP practice. They'll have translation services there as well, a homeless health link and outreach team, and they'll be opening stabilisation beds as well for those with poly drug use issues. Anita White is senior manager with the HSE in the inclusion centre, and she gave me a tour of the space.
So we're in the middle of the Inclusion Health Hub. It's the first Inclusion Health Hub in the country that offers services specifically for people who are experiencing homelessness or addiction issues. And it's right in the heart of the northeast inner city. We're looking at the waiting room. The waiting room leads into the different treatment rooms that we have aside for the GP practice, the nurse practice and also for the case managers. We have two new case management teams who are being funded through the NEIC. They've started in this area. They're based in this building. One of the teams will be working with people who are in homeless accommodation in the area. And basically, it's meeting people where they're at, figuring out where they want to be and supporting them to get there. And then the other team will work exclusively with people who are in addiction and aren't homeless. And again, the same philosophy is that we're meeting people where we're at. So there's a good inter-agency collaboration as well, which is critical to the success of anything in the area.
What's demand like for these kind of service, and what are the service needs for those in and around the northeast inner city?
Okay, well, the service needs are very, very massive in this area. A lot of the people who are experiencing homelessness aren't in mainstream care and they aren't in mainstream. I suppose they wouldn't have GPs. That's what we do here. I suppose we also help and support families of people who are affected by addiction. So the healthcare needs are as would be anywhere else, but then there's been an awful lot of kind of social aspects in it as well that we have to support people with as well. So it's a very, very varied support that we actually give.
That's the HSE is Anita White, who's a senior manager, speaking there to Della Kilroy. Tomorrow evening in the final part of this series, Della will be examining improvements in education and employment opportunities for those living in Dublin's northeast inner city.